July 5th, 2018. So where are you guys at in life these days?
I'm trying to quit the class.
Literally, when I was told this is an easy breezy class, the teacher is laid back. Real, you know, you might have a few notes to take, and then you're passing
on
the test every day. That's not
what I was talking about. Man, I'm sorry, man. It's just stressing people out, huh?
Right.
I was fine until we had the conversation about your
pay for your license.
If you have to pay for your license, you're possibly going to have to pay for your scrubs. I'll have an income. If we should already have our license, because in 4 weeks we're going to have our license to do our externship, then once we have our license, we might as well apply for a job and not come back to class. I was like, wait, hold on.
So that was like the conversation, I'm assuming, with Janice.
Partially.
When did I have that conversation with you then? So who'd you guys have that conversation with?
We just ate Janice. Who will be paying for the license? She said she was going to go back and make sure and see who was hearing them paying for it.
This morning when I came in, I had Ms. Henry call Dr. I think it's her name. She confirmed that the program itself will not be paying for licenses at all. The program that people came here through are supposed to either pay for it or reimburse the people for them. But those of us who came here under our own accord have to pay for ours on our own.
Yep. Okay. So how many of you guys came on your own accord? 1, 2, 3, 4. And you guys? So you guys ran the program?
I'm paying for
the program. You came through the program. You didn't?
I came through DHR.
DHR will pay for yours.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then. DHR. So, I think there's JCCEO or something, and then there's DHR, right? My crazy. So, I think, so DHR probably pay for it. I think what Janice was trying to convey is it's time to have a sense of urgency, right?
She wasn't rude about it. Now, some of this conversation was us saying, hey, is this what you're saying? And it was more back of a yes, not where she was trying to say, quit the class. I don't think that was her intent at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would have a sense of urgency. I would definitely, the way it kind of played out with our first session, it seemed to be a little bit easier for you guys to go ahead and just do it and then come back with the receipts than to sit there and wait and then say, so when am I going to get this? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I need to find out who I need to talk to, because I need something on somebody's letterhead saying that I need I'm required to have the license to do the externship, and then DHR will probably provide the funds. But if they don't have something from somebody other than me saying you have to have this, they don't provide it.
Oh, that's easy. To get the whip. Okay, great questions. So, you remember all that stuff we've been studying, quizzing over? I'm trying to give you guys the tools to be able to just to get it. You see what I'm saying? I want you guys just to get it. Just get out there and get it, right? So, So when I, one of the first questions in the quiz, like I guess last quiz, where would you go to get a license in the state of Alabama? Is it PTCB? Is it
Albop?
Is Albop.com? Okay. So let's just go there. All right, so now we're at the Alabama Board of Pharmacy. All right, a lot of things that you guys have been quizzed on. We hadn't had our monitor, so it's great that we have our monitor today. You would go to online services. I want to say pharmacy technician. All right, so there we are. So you go to albop.com, you go to online services, you click on pharmacy technician. Now the things that you have to have in place, you need to have a passport photo. You need to be able to provide proof of U.S. citizenship. So I'm not sure if you have to upload that as a PDF, but you at least need to be able to mail it in, right? Like probably a birth certificate or something like that.
Okay, so, I mean, you can just use your driver's license, right?
Nah, you need to get, it has to be a current photo. So anytime you're dealing with any regulation body when you're trying to get licensed, it has to be a current photo.
So
a passport photo, you can get a passport photo from Walgreens for like $9. Post office does it. So you have to go out. You have to make time from your job. Go to Walgreens, CVS, whoever does a passport photo. I think some UPS stores might even do it as well. You got to take that photo. It has to be current. I think you can upload it right here. As you can see from our first class session, I think your friend is already a pharmacy technician.
Yes.
And we said there is a fee of $103. $60 for the application fee, $40 for the background fee, $3 transaction fee. So it's $103 total.
Is this done with a credit card? Because DHR usually writes certified checks.
Can this be done with a, what do you mean? No, it does not appear that it can be done with a check. It has to be done with a credit card. And this begins the whole discussion on, you know, can you guys go and do this, get the receipt, and be refunded for it? You know, after we're going back and forth last session, we're pretty certain that it's easier just for you guys just to do it on your own and then to be reimbursed on the back end, if you can be. It's like a week. Doesn't take long.
Are they mailed to your home?
They do. That goes back to.
So the picture that I send them is gonna be on the on my license passport.
Or you have updated passport.
On your license, like there's.
No, the passport.
No.
No picture on it.
No, it just says license to be a pharmacy technician in the state of Alabama.
Is that a part of the department that passes class though to have that license?
No,
I never made it. Yeah, never made it. You know, my thing is with pharmacy technicians, people that want to even go to pharmacy school, people that are in pharmacy school, as a person that graduated active pharmacist licensed, this is a commitment. This is something that you have to ask yourself, do I want to do this, right? Even when it comes to continuing education, how many continuing education hours do you have to get per year?
Three.
One of them has to be live. It goes back to you have to have your correct address. You have to have your employment. The board has to know, because if you move, you need to let the board know in how many days?
10. And you say it got to be a written letter?
I think you can report it online, but yeah, but it can also, yeah, or email or however. There are people at the Board of Pharmacy, this is all they do, right? Because if I don't know where you live and there's an update in the laws or there's a complaint filed against you, how am I going to get in touch with you if I don't know where you live?
Yes.
Anytime something changes. So if you're one of those people that like to go through five cell phone numbers in a year, tell the board, right? If you like to move three times a year, tell the board, right? You guys have to know what you're getting yourselves into. I did not tell you guys to be pharmacy technicians, right? If you want to go through my class and not be a pharmacy technician, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm going to go to work tomorrow, right? Pharmacy is my passion. This is what I do. But I would like you guys to have the information at your fingertips, or at least be knowledgeable and informed about what you're getting yourselves into, right?
So how did you, like, I think just learning these drugs is the hardest part.
Yeah, that's like the hardest thing.
Flashcards, I've done like five different ways. It's just, I cannot.
I retain some of it, but it just, it's, I'm not getting.
How did I learn the drugs? I think it's a mixture of, you know, I'll be perfectly honest. I was never a pharmacy technician. The first time I stepped in the pharmacy was when I was a pharmacy student. That was my second semester, first year.
Wow.
All right. Being a pharmacist is just a gift. Part of it is a gift, right, for me, right? I do have a good memorization skills. Most pharmacy students, most people that get into pharmacy school, they know how to memorize rote memorization, right? But when I got into pharmacy, the drugs just started coming. Like, especially once I got into pharmacy, right? And I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be you guys in a way, right? Like, you're sitting here memorizing a language that you're not even sure if you want.
It's hard to learn something you can't even pronounce.
But you're memorizing something that you're not even sure you want. Does that make sense? You're trying to memorize something that you're not even sure you want. Am I correct? Like, do you know that you want to be a pharmacy technician?
I know that I want to do it.
You know you want to do it? Okay.
I know I don't want to do it for the rest of my life, but that's something that I do want to do for right now, because it will give me knowledge that I feel like I need to further my education and a steady job.
Well, that's the wall that you have to cross. Like, that is the wall that you're going to have to go through. Like, do you want to do this, right? And if you want to do it and you see somebody at the other end of it, okay, say you were my assistant and you said you know how to cook, right? You said you were Insomnia Cookie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm hiring you. Like, I'm talking about hiring you. And you don't care nothing about sugar, eggs, flour. You don't care nothing about, I don't care if it's got sprinkles on it, Sam, if it got M&Ms in it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how am I going to feel as the hiring manager? You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you in front of a manager, which I think I can get you. I got those girls opportunities to be in front of a pharmacy manager. I know a lot of people in pharmacy. Not to pat myself on the back, but I know a few people. And if you're sitting there, I want you to be able to at least have that foundational knowledge to be able to at least, at a bare minimum, work a register. But how are you going to feel you come into the pharmacy and you don't even understand workflow? You see what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to feel as a patient? You come in the pharmacy, you drop off the prescription, and the first thing that comes out, I don't even know what this is. Why are you on this? Huh? No, yeah, so you don't even have that. You don't even have that. You know, it's you know, if you at least kind of know, it's like, well, that might be sensitive, man. You know, that might be like a new diagnosis for diabetes, hypertension. Like, they sensitive, right? This is their first time coming to the pharmacy to even pick up the medicine. And because you don't even know, you can't even look at the end of the drug to kind of even like figure it out. You just like, you gonna die? So I guess at the end of the day, that's where we're at. You see what I'm saying? We're trying to get you foundational knowledge. Do to go on rotation, for sure. If you go on rotation with me, and I can place you at a Walgreens, because that's who we've been working with. You can't walk in a Walgreens without a license. That's just not going to happen.
I went through DHR, they gave me a list of classes that I could take for several different certifications.
Mm-hmm.
I was very specific about wanting to go into pharmacy tech. But like coming from my background, I started over in January here with two suitcases and a special needs kid.
Yeah.
And rented my house with my tax return. I'm on $190 a month flat to try to come up with stuff, and then no job. So when somebody tells me from Lawson that everything's going to be covered, and then I get caught flat-footed in class, you need to have this now because we're going to be placing you in an externship in 4 weeks. Then I have to scramble to figure out where this $103 is going to come from. I mean, you know, when you're talking to live, I'm spending $12 out of $190 a month on two different insulins, $8 on pen caps.
Yeah.
My pharmacy stuff myself. Am I going to buy my insulin? Am I going to pay my water bill?
Yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, we just can't get you licensed right now, and that's fine. Is that not fine? Like.
Oh no, because I need the license to get the job. So that's why I'm looking at.
But yeah, we can.
From another source.
Yeah.
Because at the end of this, my child is gonna have a roof over his head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get out of this class and pass it and get a job. That's what takes.
We have, I say it with my wife, right? If something were to happen tomorrow, right, and you had money for rent or you had money for lights, what you gonna pay for? Well, I gotta pay for my rent so I can stay, right? The lights can wait. Okay. So don't feel like it's like a threat. Like, oh man, you didn't get your license, I can't do nothing with you. You know, that's not the way I operate. I'll still work with you. You know what I'm saying? So don't feel like you're just, there's resources. We can get you help. If pharmacy technician is something that you want to do, I'm pretty sure we can figure out a way. Yeah.
Every single time I've gotten down to like $5, something has happened and I've been able to, to inch it through. And God has taken me. We came through Hurricane Harvey with our skins. We survived. There was other moms that either lost their children or the children lost their moms.
Yeah.
Same age as me and my son. We doing just fine. God took care of us.
Yeah, and this whole thing right here, figure it out. Don't get caught up in the all of this. And I promise you, if you're sitting here, I am pretty sure that we could figure it out. So I wouldn't get caught. Don't get hung up on that. That's just a barrier to entry.
You get familiar with your customers to know, like, you know what they've been taking for, they've done this for so long.
I am.
That you can be like, when they walk in there, because she was saying, you know, they come into my, I want my pills. Well, what kind of pills? Well, my blood pressure pills. You can look at the list, you know what they want.
Yes.
So it's repetition makes it easier to learn too, right?
Of course.
That's what I was asking Janice like Tuesday. Was it easier for her to learn the top 200, just the drugs in general, in a work setting? Like you learn by doing, you see them, and then you go with them like that?
Yeah.
Or did she just kind of do like, we're going to have to study them?
I don't think
trying to retain them by just like looking at this list or flashcards is just not worth it.
So I don't think you get, like, you guys are literally on a crash course, right?
Yes.
And I'm trying to make you feel uncomfortable on purpose, right? And if you're not feeling a little bit uncomfortable with me, then I'm not doing my job, honestly. And this isn't you know, that's what I learned from my first session. This isn't something where we can like kind of, oh, you know, you got this, you know, and we got. I've purposely set up these quizzes in a manner where even if you don't do well on the quizzes, you will still learn from the quizzes if you go back and study them. That is the point. There is a point to it, right? You guys, this is what, the 8th session? You guys are, if I were just to, and this is what we're going to do in class today, if I were just to go through random pieces of information that we've covered, you guys would be surprised that you know more than what you think you know.
That's what my husband used, the car reference. He's like, Randy, you've been driving the car since I was 22. And I know how to drive the car, I can get in it. I know how to check the oil and put gas in it. Other than that, I don't know how to change a tire. I don't know when the lights come on, I freak out. So this is a lot like that. I didn't jump into this knowing all the 200 drugs. I'm not going to know all these terms. I'm not going to know
exactly
the allergies that, you know, all this stuff that goes with it. But as I do it, the longer I do it, the more I learn, the more I'll pick up, the more I'll retain, and
you'll be surprised. Four more weeks from now, by the time you guys take the final, you'll be surprised at what you learn. It's just a process. It's a process. And it's not going to be, if you think going through my class is like, oh, intense, imagine going through pharmacy school. And then being like, every week, you guys, you know, I'm doing this on purpose.
This is just hard for me because this is the worst time for me to take a class. Because I literally almost run a daycare out of my house, but I do it for free. So I'm constantly chasing kids, cooking, cleaning, taking this one to football, this one to baseball, this one to dance, I've not literally had the time to sit down and study. Listening to one of your lectures from last week, and I missed it, you said if you'll give me an hour a day, you know, you'll learn it. I haven't even had an hour a day to sit down, and so I have a nightmare. I had a nightmare last night that I went to jail because I failed this quiz. Like,
went to jail.
That to me is just like, I don't do well under that.
Well, you know, I think what you'll learn in healthcare is the way it's set up. You have to get over. We've kind of been brainwashed a little bit about the A, B, C, D, F, whatever, right? Like, that's fine. Me putting up a grade for you at the end is fine, right? But at the end of the day, when it comes to healthcare, there's a person behind it, right? That A, B, C, D, F, I mean, like, the person just wants to know, can you help them get better?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So the A, B, C, D, F, okay, you know, I think you just have to get used to the fact that there's going to be a little bit of failure in my class. Just a little bit. I'm going to pick you back up. I'm gonna show you that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not just gonna leave you hanging, but there's just gonna be a little bit. But if I'm not letting you fail, you won't cross that bridge to be able to say, hey, Sam, I got this job. You know, I've been a pharmacy tech for a year now. You know, I love it.
So when we get to start our rotation, is it just like, yeah, you and Janice is just like, it's done, or are you guys gonna be like?
And so, pretty much when you're done with me, it's kind of done. I'm there for you guys as a resource. I literally stand, I've been standing in one spot for like 5 years at PedsRx, right? You guys have my email, you have my phone number. Once you enter our profession, you're with me. If that makes any sense. This is like, you know, you crossed over. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how else to put it. Pharmacy is a small community. We're a small little world. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody knows everybody. You know, we're all, I could find 6 degrees of connection and probably know somebody in like California or something that's a pharmacist, right? I'm about to go to Vegas this weekend, right, for a pharmacy conference. And so, you know, everybody knows everybody. I don't know how else to put it. there might be 100. You might say, "Oh man, there's 100 schools of pharmacy, and there's 50 states with their own board of pharmacy." But everybody knows everybody in some kind of way. We could figure out a way. And so, if you finish with this, if you want to be a pharmacy tech, if you're taking this seriously, you're going to be with me, right?
And that's something I noticed when I was a med tech up in Indiana. When I did my job, and I did my job well, or was a CNA, my nurses ask for me by name. Like when they pull from the pool of med techs or CNAs, mm-hmm. They'd be like, "No, she's being assigned to me tonight." They knew that I was very specific, very thorough, very fine.
Yeah.
But I was catching, like as a med tech, I was up in Indiana, you have to do this thing called Core B, at least when I was doing it, to take them off the med card and pass them out. But I caught my nurses.
Errors.
My errors. Like especially on new medications, or if they were new to the patient, mm-hmm. And I wasn't. So I think on the customer service and the detail side, but I need to slow down a little bit and actually, like on the test, read what I'm read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very convinced that as soon as I get into the job, I'm going to be doing just fine. But I've never had the issue. Effort of not passing a test or getting in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal theory is if it's hard enough that I'm not passing or that I'm getting a 70, then this is where I'm learning. And once I get into a pharmacy, then that'll just make it easier on me to have this thing. And I love that she made that Quizlet. I've been studying with it and my notes.
Mm-hmm.
But
what you said is what we're trying to get to. Because like what you said is exactly what I'm trying to get you to. You said that when you took the quiz, you felt like when you can reflect on the quizzes that you need to slow down and that you need to pay more attention to these little details. That's what pharmacy is. Pharmacy is a job of detail. Yes, we're chaotic at times. You see, oh man, they're just moving here, moving there, and the phone's answering. And from like maybe when you're just walking past Walmart, maybe it just looks so easy, man. Those guys, they just stand in those white coats and make them checks. I want to be one of them, right? But no pharmacist wants to be on the 9 o'clock news, right? We're a profession of details, right? So what you said right there, that's what I want you to get to, right? If you realize that you're not slowing up, you just made an error with Mrs. Smith's medication, right? And it could be just as simple as making an error at checkout, not even filling the prescription. All right. So $103, don't freak out. I hope you guys at least want to finish, right?
comes to another drug test and background check?
This is separate. Yeah. This is separate. Yeah, I think you took the background check just to get in the class.
Yeah,
I still haven't had either.
You hadn't had that either.
So let me ask you this: do we have to submit our?
I'm just a teacher. Do we have to submit the?
Your transcript or high school diploma for this as well.
I think they do. I think in their background check they can figure out whether they can do an education background. Okay. I know on my guys, if I wanted to, I could do an education background on them.
Okay, gotcha.
Through, because I do background checks when I hire my technicians.
How far is
Oh, we're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Children's.
How far?
We're just in Children's, Alabama. So, like, 20 minutes?
20 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, I've never been inside. That's
what. Oh, you never been to Children's? Oh, okay. Yeah, downtown, 7th Avenue South.
So, you just been all the places in three places? Mm-hmm. Three Walgreens. There's no way else you can
place it. That's the relationship we're building. Yeah, like not everybody likes the Walgreens or the CVS's or the Publix's or the, but that's the part of being on rotation, right? If you get a rotation, you just kind of gotta make do. It goes back to the fact that we are still a small community, right? You can do good at one of those places. Somebody might say, you know what, you might fit in well at such and such and such place.
Okay, you guys are connected to the three Walgreens, right? And they'll just like basically give us a schedule based on our availability.
So you have to get with it. So the hierarchy at a pharmacy is I think this pen works. Okay. So you have the pharmacist in charge. They're also known as the PIC. Or they're also known as the pharmacy manager or the pharmacy supervisor. They're all synonyms. All right. So that's the guy that gives his lead. They call her the lead pharmacy tech, or he. That's the person over this person, right? Because in the state of Alabama, if you want to be in a pharmacy, you have to be supervised by a pharmacist, right? So the lead pharmacy tech is the person that you're going to have to make contact with. Okay. And because the great part about being the lead pharmacy tech is that a lot of times you can make a schedule. And what's great about that is that you start making your own schedule. All right. So they try to figure out where to fit you in. Okay. Question. What must the ratio be?
It depends on if you got a certified tech or not. 2-1 for just registered. 3-1 if you've got at least one certified.
Correct. All right. So that's what we're playing with. They're playing with ratios. They're like, well, I got one certified coming in at 10. I got, you know, that's where the scheduling comes into play. That's why you have to make contact with them. All I'm asking for is 40 hours. That's not a lot of time, honestly. And my thing was, once everybody finally completed, I would write them a letter saying, hey, you completed this course, blah, 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 blah. Sam Blakemore, PharmD, MBA. You know, they came to Lawson from these dates, blah, 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 blah. So that you can have that on file for yourself. To be able to say, hey, look, I did this. So when you go out there trying to find a job, you can say not only that you have your license to be a pharmacy tech in the state of Alabama, but you also have a letter stating that you went through some type of curriculum to get you prepared to be in a pharmacy.
Are we reference letter.
So, like, it's kind of like, yeah, like, she completed this, blah, 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 passed, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get, yeah, it have to come to your email because I'll be done, like, we'll be done in the classroom. So yeah, I've arranged it to where 8 weeks of, essentially 8 weeks of this, it would be 4 weeks of rotation. So you would do at least 2 days a week, like 4 hours or, no, 5 hours each. Oh, yeah. So 10 hours a week for 4 weeks, right? So it'd be like 12, over a 12 week period. It's a crash course. 12 week period. You had 16 lectures, 4 weeks of externship, and now it's time to find a job if you hadn't already found one. Because I literally had jobs lined up for the girls last session. Whether they took advantage of it or not, I don't know. I don't think so. I had a connection with the guy at Walmart that was hiring.
I would like to talk to you about your plans.
Yeah. So I mean, like, pharmacy techs, there is a demand to be a pharmacy tech. How much you're gonna make per hour goes back to
where you work.
Yeah. Yeah. Certified, not certified. I think Walmart's probably like one of the highest ones right now. They're like 13, 14 an hour. Yeah. Right? So we got that out. So, I mean, all good questions. All good fears to have. What's the, any other questions before we move on towards lecture? Any other maintenance issues besides... Why are we learning the top 200 so fast? Yeah, for me, what I would tell you guys to do is to, like, where's your list right there? The easiest way you're going to be able to learn anything about these medications is not just to simply just look at the medications and just rote memorize. Like these words have to have meaning, right? So we're all at google.com. I like to call google.com Dr. Google.com. All right. Literally, the world is at your fingertips. Okay, so we're on, let's just go back and look at the first drug that we had, which was fentanyl. Alright, just Google it, right? You Googled it, and now it's like, well, fentanyl is causing almost half of all overdose deaths. Wow. That's interesting. You know, first thing that pops up, DEA and fentanyl. You know, these are like on a list of high importance with the DEA. So, you know, you can read a little something about it. Say fentanyl and fentanyl-related compounds or synthetic opiates, okay? Drugs in this group have varying but often very high levels of potency. Interesting. It only takes a very small amount of fentanyl or its derivatives, which can be inhaled or absorbed through the skin or mucous membranes to result in severe adverse reactions. Wow. Interesting. Fentanyl. Okay. So, you know, WebMD. Fentanyl. There's a, I want to call it maybe a drugs.com about fentanyl as well. Why fentanyl is so much more deadly than heroin. Wow. Those are interesting topics, right? So now you're like, okay, Duragesic is the brand name. Fentanyl is the generic name. Fentanyl, all right? If you, uh, there's a good, there's YouTube videos where literally you can sit there, you look up a drug, and you're looking at it, man, I don't even know how to say that. All right? There's YouTube videos that the only thing they do is sound out the words.
That's what I Google when I'm like studying and I try to write it out.
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl, right? So, like, fentanyl. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you go on Google, the top 200 especially, they're going to have a lot of things about when you Google the drug, they're going to have a lot of information about the drug. Okay, let's go to Tamiflu. All right. Tamiflu. We're at WebMD.com. You can read something about it. You can go to Wikipedia, read something about it. I think the easiest way for you guys to learn is honestly not just going to be like looking at this list and just be like, oh my God, this list. Have you looked at the list? It's going to be like, okay, I looked at the list. Let me Google some of this stuff.
It's some of the, like I was asking her, like the potassium, for example, it's a prescription apparently because it's on there. Is it a natural source of potassium or is it a man-made source of potassium?
Potassium is that, I think that's natural, right? No, it's not synthetic.
Then why is that a prescription? Like how is that different than me walking into the pharmacy and ordering the vitamin
It's a different milli equivalent, right? So there's some products that are just higher in strength, right? You can walk in the pharmacy and buy Benadryl, right? But like, what's a good example? Okay, a good example, ibuprofen. Somebody asked me, like, first day of class. I think it was you. No, it was.
It was the other girl.
Okay, yeah. So you can go in the pharmacy, bought some ibuprofen, 200 milligrams. And she said, no, it was you. And then you said, man, I popped four of them things. 800. Well, you got the 800 milligram. Well, 800 milligram is a prescription. All right? Where's my pen? There's 200 milligrams, right? I want to say there's a 400 milligram. There's a 600 milligram. There's an 800 milligram. All right. So the question was, well, somebody comes in and says they're going to buy the 200 milligram, but they just broke their leg and their prescription ran out. Can you tell them to take four tablets to get to the 800? No, because this is over the counter. You need a prescription to get to this point, right? So that's the same thing with a lot of these, is OTC versus prescription. You gotta look at the back of the package and say, you know. Is it coming next round? I don't think so because that's a prescription. All right. So yeah, start looking at the list, Googling words, thinking about the words, right? All right. So moving on to some of the things I want you guys to know before we take the quiz. So we're pretty good at day supply, right? At this point, or we're not?
Not really.
So my thing with day supply how much drug will you use in one day? Ask yourself. How much drug has been prescribed. Ask yourself, right? When will I run out of drug? I mean, I guess that's the easiest way for me to break it down, right? Okay, so let's have a prescription. This is one of my prescriptions that I have in one of my lectures. And so it says, Jesse Jones is a new patient at Save-A-Lot Drugs. He brings in a prescription for amoxicillin 400 milligram per 5 ml and Tylenol with codeine liquid. The dentist has written this prescription for liquid because Jesse doesn't like to swallow tablets. The prescription for amoxicillin reads, 1 teaspoon by mouth twice a day for 10 days. There are three package sizes on the shelf to choose from. 50 ml, 75 ml, and 100 ml. The prescription for Tylenol with codeine liquid reads 6 ml PO Q6, H, PRN, mild to moderate pain, QS for 5 days. So the first question, how should the directions for amoxicillin appear on Jesse's prescription label?
1 teaspoon twice a day, or 1 teaspoon by mouth twice a day for 10 days.
Okay, correct. What is a teaspoon?
It's five milliliters by mouth twice a day.
Okay.
Is that a teaspoon or 2 days?
So that was right. You guys got the directions right. And then if we were to do day supply, okay. Okay. How do we get there?
It would be 5 milliliters twice a day, which is 10 milliliters, be 1 5 days back.
Five milliliters by mouth twice daily. So we know you use 10 mls per day. So how much drug will you use in 1 day? 10 mls in a day. How much drug has been prescribed? The doctor said how many days? Times 10 days. All right, we cancel out the days. 100 milliliters, right? So, I mean, that's an example of day supply, right? I mean, you guys just did it. Sometimes it's easier to talk it out than to be tested on it, right? All right, so what if I were to say amlodipine, 5 milligram tablet. We're going to dispense number 30. All right. We're going to have the patient take 1 tab, PO, BID. How much drug will you use in 1 day?
I say 2 tablets twice a day.
Does everybody see that? 2 tablets in 1 day. How much drug has been prescribed?
30.
When will I run out of drug? You got it? So think of it that way. Do you guys know what QS means? Have we gone over that? QS. QS simply means quantity sufficient. All right. So if I said Augmentin, 250 milligram per 5 ml. QS times 7 days. And I wrote directions . How much Augmentin at a minimum do I need to dispense? So Augmentin 250 milligrams per 5 mLs. 250 milligrams per 5 mLs. Directions 5 mLs, PO, BID, QS times 7 days. Okay, because the reason I say that is because let's just say the Augmentin comes in package sizes of 75 ml and 100. Well, I want to dispense a 75 ml package size, but the doctor said, but they need it for 7 days. So the doctor is saying, give them enough for 7 days. That's what quantity sufficient means. Give them enough for 7 days, right?
So you will still give them the same package?
Yeah, because I can't break the package, but the doctor's telling you, so that's a liquid. Some things when liquids you can't break. Did Janice go over that?
Yes.
Products that need to be reconstituted are products that have an expiration date once you open the product. They can't be broken. So it's not like If you went to the pharmacy and amoxicillin comes in 50 ml packet size, right? And your baby only needed 1 ml twice a day times 7 days. 1 ml twice a day times 7 days. How many ml does your baby need?
At
14. But the packet size is 50. Does that mean I go to the amoxicillin, reconstitute it, and then pour out 14 ml into a bottle? And you discard the remainder, right? But you understand what QS means?
Mm-hmm. So, in this type, they won't be able to go over.
Don't make it too deep. Just be like, if I gave you, yeah, so if I said, here's a 1.5 pennies. If I gave you, this is 1.5 pennies. I'm gonna give you 1.5 pennies twice a day when I pass you in the street. It's 1.5 pennies. All right. What would you like you'd be like, dude, have you been cutting pennies? Like, how'd you cut money? Like, nobody would take 1.5 pennies, right? All right, they would just be like, dude, like, it's a penny, or you give me 2 pennies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't hold up a 50, like, you don't say, man, you owe me 50 bucks. Or no, you owe me 25 bucks. You owe me 25 bucks. Where my money at, man? And I whip out a 50 and I tear it in half and give you half, right? You know, see what I'm saying? So quantity sufficient, if I were to tell you on a quiz, 2 mLs, BID, QS times 7 days, what would the answer be? What's 2 mLs, BID, QS times 7 days?
2, 4, 8, 5.
Okay, there you go. If I told you 5 mLs, BID, QS times 14 days, how many? There you go. Quantity sufficient. If I told you one tablet, TID, times 5 days. There you go. So essentially there's prescriptions that you will see in the pharmacy where the doctor is not doing the math. They're just telling you to do it. All right. We went over in class. Yeah, stuff like that.
He couldn't figure out how many boxes were, or how many flex pens were in a box.
Mm.
He just said, she's taking this amount per day, and then you wrote something on it. I bet you it's QS. And then the
QS times 30 days.
He's like, I can just send you 2 boxes of Medicaid.
Exactly. And that's what happens. And then one of the questions I have for you guys, do we all understand workflow?
Yes. We went over it.
So describe it. I think we're a little bit around. Okay. Drop off. Order entry. What's next? Yeah, but I want it. Yeah, just think of drop off, order entry. That's what I want you to learn it. Drop off, order entry. Verification. And then if I were just being a butthole and I asked you for one more step, what would it be?
Counseling. Asking if they want the pharmacist to counsel them.
Exactly. Okay. So that's the way you should, that's the way I want you to memorize it. Drop off, order entry, filling, verification, pickup. Cool? Yeah, that's fine.
So I thought drop off and order entry was one.
It could be. Some places is like really is not. That's why I want you guys to remember this. Like if you get like really good at Walgreens, like everybody has their own. Wherever you go, everybody has their own workflow, right? But the way I want it, reason why I want you guys to memorize it this way is that you can adapt to whatever else they're telling you. You see what I'm saying? Like, you work at Walmart and they just have you as a cashier, where you're simply just a cashier. Even though you're working in the pharmacy, you're a pharmacy cashier, right? And if you're a pharmacy cashier, there's nothing that you can do with prescriptions. By law, per se, like you really can't. The only thing you can really do in assisting the pharmacy is just literally ringing up the patient, you know. So if that's the case, you're just really just doing drop off and pick up,
so,
and order entries being handled by somebody else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I like the video you posted on your thing. I watched both of those. I love how organized they were. That. White basket for this, the black basket for this, the purple basket. So the pharmacist or whoever was handling knew this is drive through, this is immediate, they're right here now. This one is like they're come back tomorrow, somebody. So it was not processed as quickly. They knew what needed to be done like right now, as opposed to this basket means it may be 3 days from now for that. I mean,
exactly.
So awesome
exactly.
How organized that
exactly.
Was.
And that's what's going to happen at most pharmacies you go to. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, if you memorize what I told you, right? You can watch that video and then say, okay, well, that was their drop off. And then the pharmacist got, okay, well, that was their order entry. Now they're filling. Now they're verifying. Then there's pickup. You see what I'm saying? Like, you learned this, right? Has everybody watched the video?
Yes.
Okay, so that'd be cool. Just to... because we got some time. We're just going to use like the last 30 minutes of the class to take the quiz.
And some of it, even though you helped me find it on my cell phone,
mm-hmm.
some of it I still can't access.
Yeah, some of it might be broken links. Like, you know, they update links and stuff. That was a 10-step process. I don't want you guys to look at that one right now. I like the guy at Health Mart, like you said.
Yeah, I was just like,
the Health Mart pharmacy. Yeah, he did a really excellent job in a condensed. The other one is kind of more like an outpatient pharmacy is what I do.
Hi, I'm Steve Combs, pharmacist and owner here at Aubrey Health Mart Pharmacy. We're going to give you a little tour here of what happens to your prescription.
Everybody can hear it, right?
First of all, you'll come into the drop-off counter where the technician, clerk, pharmacist, anybody that's able to help you will take the prescription from you, get a little bit of information after the prescription's been dropped off for the filling technician who's going to come back here and get classified into whether it's a waiter. We do mail out for some folks and a little bit of delivery. Delivery is one of our new things. This is for folks that are going to be coming back later, and this is the basket for the drive-through people, so we know what to expect and where the prescription's going to end up. After we classify the prescription into what kind of pickup system we're going to be using for you, it comes in here to data entry, where a certified pharmacy technician is going to put in the information, and at this point is where we determine whether we've got the medication in stock, so we can let you know right away if we need to order it. And if we do have to order it, we'll have it the next morning at about 9 o'clock. We get a delivery every day. The other thing that can be determined here rapidly to let you know is if there's an insurance issue. After the entry's been done, everything's been verified, we'll come on down here to the counting station where we have another certified technician. We'll either go to the shelves and retrieve the medication, or if it's in the robot, it'll come out of here. Anything that's not in the robots and electronically counted here gets placed on this device called an icon, which is a laser counter. It verifies that it's the correct medication and also counts the medication and takes a picture of the number of pills that are on the tray. Another safety device for the patient, making sure we're getting the correct product. After it's left the counting station, we come down here to the pharmacist where it'll be checked for make sure that we've got the correct medication, the correct directions. Pharmacists are also checking for drug interactions and checking on that drug allergy information that was obtained from the patient who had the drop-off. After it's gone through this area, is an opportunity if the patient's requested our PASS packaging system. The medication would then go to the back for that type of packaging and then come back after that and go into the pickup area, which is going to be, if you're a waiter, be in one of those baskets again. If it's going to be picked up later, it goes into our clear bag system so that when it comes around here, we have the bags all here waiting for people to pick up. Then when the prescription's completely finished, if it's a new prescription, the pharmacist is going to come out here with the medication to talk to the patient about that medication. We're going to ring you out of the register and get you on your way just as rapidly as possible. And most importantly, making sure everything's correct. Thanks for taking the tour with us here at Aubrey Health Mart Pharmacy. I'm Steve Combs, owner and pharmacist. We'd love to take care of you. Come in and see us.
Isn't that just a great commercial? Boom goes the dynamite, right? So, like, literally, that's what we're talking about. He did it.
How many pharmacies are, like, in your pharmacy?
we have overlap, so it's gonna be at least two a day. Okay. Like, including myself, because we're open 11 hours a day.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, like, some busy stores, like 600, 700, 800, 1,000 prescription stores, you're going to have more pharmacists than that. Or 2-3 pharmacists. Like, 4 pharmacists, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of depends on where you're at. But, you know, it all goes back to that ratio. And every state has their ratio.
And you have to have a certain amount.
Well, when you're doing that many, you want a certain amount. Like, you want to be able to play the game. Just, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's like you remember when Alabama was playing that game with 3 players? You see what I'm saying? like they might have won the game if it had been 5 players on the court. And so that's the thing. The Board of Pharmacy is tasked with ensuring the safety of the public, right? As a pharmacist, we take an oath, you know, to ensure safety of our patients, right? And so if you're a busy pharmacy and you're understaffed and you're doing it on purpose and you really can't go through prospective drug utilization review and checking for drug interactions and this and that, you're just like blindly just putting pills in a bottle and just hoping for the best. Well, guess what? You're going to get in trouble eventually, right? Because as pharmacists, as pharmacy technicians, you're here to serve the public. All right.
Sam, one thing that really I thought about before I got into this job is if I don't do my job well and do my job accurately, I
could feel true. Every day. Have you guys gone over prescription benefits with Janice?
She did the insurance as far as the VIN number, the PCN, the ID, and the group number thing.
Okay. Did you guys watch the video on it?
No.
All right, let's watch this video. I know it's going to be real dry and boring, but it's only 3 minutes.
Just today with some tips on how to fill your prescription if you don't have your insurance card with you. Common problem for some people at the pharmacy. First off, so what does the pharmacy need to be able to process your insurance if you don't have a card? 4 pieces. Just further refines that's a process.
All right, so bin number, PCN, ID, group. All right. Somebody hands you a prescription. That's part of your job as a pharmacy technician. Somebody's going to hand you a prescription, and then you're going to ask for insurance. Because that's just part of your workflow, right?
Just today, I have some tips on how to fill your prescription.
You're going to be drop-off, order entry, filling, verification, pickup. So say drop-off and order entry is synonymous for your pharmacy, which typically it is. All right. Can I get your insurance card? Somebody hands you an insurance card. Ain't got no BIN number, ID, group, PCN. You know, it's just a smiley face, right? What you gonna be able to do with that? Well, you gotta be able to say, hey, look, this isn't your prescription insurance card. Like, do you have another card in your purse? Or do you have another card in your wallet? And they can say, oh, well, that's the wrong, oh, yeah, you know, here's the card. Or, you know, I don't even have it. Can you call my pharmacy back at home? You call their pharmacy back at home. What do you need to ask the pharmacy technician?
The ARTS, ID, group,
the BIN, PCN.
The BIN, the group, the PCN, the ID. Those are the questions that you need to ask. And if you don't get those four pieces of information, are you going to be able to process the prescription? You can do that as well. But, you know, it's sometimes it's simpler when they give you, like, say they're just out of state. Say you're working in Florida, you know, for whatever reason, you decided, man, Sam, I just want to move to Florida. You got licensed as a technician in the state of Florida, and you're working near the beach. Everybody forgets their prescriptions, and you got to make a bunch of transfers and find out a bunch of insurance information, right? What's going to be easier, calling the insurance company or calling their local pharmacist, their local mom and pop pharmacist that they already got off the phone with and said they'll give that information to you? I mean, you can go either way, right?
Well, he said in his video that you can still do that prescription. They just have to pay out of pocket for it and possibly could be reimbursed, but
true.
Generally, you're going to pay $6,000 for something that your pharmacy is $12.
Yeah, and most people are just going to sit there and wait to get their insurance information before that. All right. Especially if it's not on the $4 list at Walmart. All right. We talked about mid-level practitioners a bit last week.
Optometrists.
Oh, so you guys know what the MPI is?
What the
who? MPI.
Yeah.
So if you click on that link on my website, essentially the MPI is the Social Security number of a healthcare provider, right? So if
the first five were the manufacturer, the next four were the
No, that's the NDC. MPI is National Provider Identifier. NDC is the Social Security number for a drug. MPI is like the Social Security number for a healthcare provider. Right? So it allows you as a healthcare provider to bill to insurance companies, and they know who is either the pharmacy or the practitioner.
And that's the MPI?
MPI number. So if you were to look up the pharmacy that I manage, do pharmacists need to have their own MPI numbers?
No.
But the pharmacy does. Do pharmacists have to have their own DEA number? Pharmacist?
No.
But the pharmacy, because I do not I dispense controlled substances under the license of the pharmacy, right? So if you look up PEDS-RX in the database, I'm just going to type out PEDS-RX pharmacy. It's thinking, it's searching.
Like when I worked the insurance side of it, when I was doing things, we have to verify the NPI number.
Yeah.
I would see nurses working under a doctor's NPI number.
So this is the NPI number for the pharmacy that I manage, right? So anytime I'm talking to an insurance company or anytime I'm talking or filling out an application for our company and they want to know who we are, I say 190-224-5020. That's our NPI number, right? That identifies me to whoever I'm talking to, right? So just remember that.
Okay, and you say it's the social security number for?
It's a number. And the reason I say social security number is because each one of you guys has a social security number that follows you around, right? Each one of you guys has, what, 3 digits, you know, and yeah, okay, yeah. So the same thing in the world of healthcare, right? It's just like an analogy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the social security number for a business. Well,
for a healthcare provider.
Yeah.
And so the pharmacy is acting as that provider to the community, correct? If I would like to bill for my services, I have to have a NPI. Does that make sense? Because if I bill to insurance, they need numbers, right? If you're filling out an application for albop.com and they want to run a background check on you, what's one of the things they're going to ask you for? There you go. That's all I want to be able to convey to you guys, right? And when we talk about prescriptive authority in healthcare professions, all right, prescriptive authority, you can have medical doctors, which are MDs or DOs. You have physician assistants. You have nurse practitioners. You have optometrists, podiatrists, veterinarians, and dentists. All right. The nurse practitioners and the PAs and the optometrists are considered to be mid-level practitioners. All right. So a nurse practitioner, you see this where it says physician assistant, nurse practitioner, they have to be under the supervising physician to authorize like these controlled substances. All right. They can't just do it on their own. So they need a supervising physician. The optometrist, it's not like they have to work under the physician, but they can only prescribe when it comes to administering, prescribing, examination, treatment, and disease of the eye. So it just limits their scope of practice. So what about a podiatrist? What do you go to a podiatrist for?
Your feet.
For your feet. Exactly. So they're prescribing to you medications in their scope. So would you expect that a podiatrist should be allowed to prescribe you some Adderall for attention deficit disorder?
No.
Exactly. So they have to prescribe under their scope of practice, all right? Podiatrist is prescribing under the scope of practice of dealing with the feet. a veterinarian is prescribing under the scope of practice of dealing with animals. Not humans, animals. Well, we are animals, but we're dealing with horses, dogs. Okay. A dentist is prescribing under the scope of dealing with the mouth. So if a dentist is writing you a muscle relaxant for your back, is that appropriate scope of practice?
No.
Exactly.
But they have written me prescriptions for TMJ before.
Yes. Anything to do with your jaw, anything to do with oral, you know, fine, right? So what I'm trying to get at is they have their own scope of practice. So mid-level practitioners in the state of Alabama include nurse practitioners, optometrists, and physician assistants. If I were to ask in your own words, describe what is a mid-level practitioner and the schedule of controlled substances they can prescribe, could you describe that? Okay. You probably couldn't, right? Yeah, so this is where I want you guys to go back to this website and see what level that they can prescribe under. So you remember when we talked about schedule controlled substances?
Yes.
You had schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? When it came to controlled substances. When you look at this chart on my website or on Alabama Board of Pharmacy, but if you click on my website, you can get there. Just click on Prescriptive Authority of Health Professionals in Alabama. Yeah. You'll get there. You'll see that doctors of medicine, C2s and below. Can anybody write for a C1?
No.
No, okay. But you see doctor of osteopathy, DO, C2, C3 through 5. All right. Physician assistant, it's limited. You see where it says limited?
Yes,
limited. It has to be under the supervising physician to authorize, right? Mm-hmm. Limited, nurse practitioner. For optometrists, you see where they can't even do C2s? Mm-hmm. It just says no. And then when it comes to controlled substances, like 3 through 5, it's limited. It's only dealing with their scope of practice, which is the eye. Does that make sense?
Thanks, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Not that I'm interested in paying any of this, but when a state legalizes a medication that was on a Schedule 1, does it then become a Schedule 2?
They have to change the schedule. Mm-hmm. So they have to change it, like officially they have to change the schedule through law. So when it comes to mid-level practitioners, their DEA number begins with what? An M. See that? Stands for mid-level. An M, mid-level practitioner. The DEA number. And so when you go to the website, I want you guys to go back and see how to calculate the DEA number. For the purposes of the quiz, this is just going to be on the board, okay? And I'm going to go over it briefly. All right. Look at this example. We have B is in boy, J is in Jack, 612-5341. What does a DEA number allow you to do? It allows you to prescribe for controlled substances. All right. So if a nurse practitioner says, well, the State Board of Pharmacy said I can prescribe it. I got my MPI number. I don't have a DEA number, but I got my MPI number. And the state said I could do it. Can they prescribe controlled substances?
No.
They have to have a DEA number. For doctors, oftentimes that first number, or that first letter rather, might be a B, might be a F, might be an A, you know. It's going to be different, it's, you know. But that second letter, The second letter is going to be the first letter of their last name. All right. So if their last name was Smith, the second letter has to be an S. Right? So if you're a mid-level practitioner, right? And your name, your last name is Smith, it would be M-S. Right? Yeah, like the DEA is going through different letters. Like it used to be F. I've seen F. I've seen B. I see a lot of F and B. Those are like typically the ones I see all the time. When you have a mid-level though, M stands for mid-level. All right. Now, when it comes to doing the math to see if this is a correct DEA number, you take the first, third, and fifth numbers. First number, third number, fifth number. You add those together. So, I'm just for our example, 1 plus 3 is 4. 4 plus 5 is 9, right? All right. And then we're going to take the second, the fourth, and the sixth numbers, all right? So 2 plus 4 is 6. 6 plus 6 is 12. The numbers that were 2, 4, 6, now I'm going to multiply that times 2. All right, so now I'm going to add 24 plus 9. All right, the number I get is 33. All right, this digit right here, the last digit, should be the last digit of the DEA number. Does that make sense? So if it was 34, the last digit of the DEA number should be 4.
Okay.
If it was 35, the last digit should be 5. All right? So if you add this up, they said 6 plus 2 plus 3 is 11. And then they said 1 plus 5 plus 4 is 10. They multiply that times 2. They got 11 plus 20 is 31. 1. The last digit. So they're actually able to calculate the DEA number to ensure that it was correct. If that doesn't add up, it is not a legitimate DEA number. Does that make sense? And with that being said, you guys should be prepared to take the quiz. You can use whatever I wrote on the board. You cannot use your notes for the top 200. You cannot use your notes from the top 200. If you got notes from what you took today, that's fine. But like as far as the top 200 list, just put that away. Just use these last minutes in class. We only got 20 minutes, right? Because we took a little time talking. But, just write your name on every sheet of paper that you get. Some of these, my stapler's not that great, all right? So that's for you. Just write your name on every. I'll be here until you finish. It's like taking a typing class, right? Sure, you can type faster if you were to look down, right? But we're trying to get you to the point where you're not looking down, okay? You're just typing away. So please feel free to use the board. Please feel free to use that equation that's on the board. All right. I'll leave you alone.